guess we're about to get started on the Koine Greek class. What's the date today? March 2nd, 2013. That's amazing that we live in this period of time. And tonight's going to be involved. We're going to be working on pages 16 and 18 in the workbook. Does everybody have a workbook? Well, let's... What's happening here, especially on page 16, and certainly on page 18, is very important. And what I'm going to try to do tonight is I'm going to go over, for sure, I'm going to go over the facts of Koine Greek tenses and aspect, you know, like what's going on here. And then, you know, certainly if you open up your textbooks, you open up your textbooks to pages 14 and 15. And, you know, we really got to hammer what's on these two pages, and actually what's on 12 and 13 also. We got to hammer these facts into our brain. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to... And that, in order to understand what's happening on page 16 and page 18 of the workbook, you have to hammer these Koine Greek concepts into your mind. All right. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to do that tonight. All right. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out of the textbook. And go over it a couple of times, starting on page 14 and reading through 15, and I'm going to go over and over some statements so that we might be able to get a grip on the fact of Greek tenses and the aspects, Koine Greek, the three aspects of Koine Greek verbs, because this is very important. And also, too, we're going to be parsing. That's the exercise on page 18. And, you know, that's going to be breaking down Greek verb forms into tense, voice, mood, person, number, and source. And each time that you encounter a Koine Greek verb, you should be able to break it down or parse it into those six elements. And so, you know, that has some very excellent fundamental workings there that we should understand. We should understand what we're doing. Otherwise, you know, just running over things and just hearing it, nodding our heads and saying, "Oh yeah, well, I heard about that. Well, what you know? Can you explain it?" Well, not really. Well, then we've learned nothing. So here we go. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your strength these days in which we live, for a tremendous faith in you and our calling. We pray that we might understand what you've done for us through your Son, and what you have for us in your Word. How you have kept your precious Word alive and well all these hundreds and hundreds of years, so that we might understand our calling, and as it is revealed through your precious Word, through the Holy Spirit, as spoken first in human form through the Apostle Paul. These things are marvelous, marvelous, unspeakable, and tremendous facts, and we thank you for that. We know that your New Testament was preserved after the autographs in the Koine Greek, and that's why we're, you know, our hearts, that's why we're studying your Koine, and we pray for your blessing and your strength to be diligent in your Word. Study to show ourselves. Be diligent is what... Koine Greek form actually means study. Be diligent, rightly dividing the Word of God, or straight cutting the Word of God, as with the skill of a surgeon, as I understand it. Well, all right then. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen. So let's turn to, I actually don't know what Greek class this is. All I know is that the 27th of March is our three-year anniversary, which is a Wednesday. So as of the 27th of this month, it'll be 3 years that we have been delving into the Koine. And certainly, we've gone over and we know a lot more than Alpha, Beta, Gamma, that's for sure. And so we're going to keep on, seems like only yesterday, correct? We're going to keep on keeping on, because each time we study this and each time we put in our labors, it gives us more ammunition in understanding this language. And by the time we're done with this text, I mean, and if you look into your, I always like looking ahead. If you look ahead in your workbook, I mean, we're going to be translating scriptures, so that's great. So let's turn to page 15 in the small text that we have. Top of page 15. Future perfect are sometimes called primary or principal tenses, while the imperfect, aorist, and pluperfect are sometimes called secondary or historical tenses. In the indicative mood, we'll go over mood again if we have time tonight, the usual English equivalents of these tenses are as follows. Well, let's just say, this is how we understand these tenses. And then we have present, future, imperfect, aorist, perfect, pluperfect, and future perfect tenses there. Page 14, I'm sorry. We're on page 14 right now. Sorry about that. And I hope that didn't confuse you. All right, I was reading page 14. And then we notice that we have all of the tenses in Greek there. Seven tenses, and then it has the example of I love in the English, and then it has that in the active and passive voices. Notice that. We have the active voice, the passive voice, and the middle voice in the Greek. And here it lists two of them, all right, when we notice that. So we've gone over that a couple of times, but we can go over it again or keep on going over, like, what is a voice. What are the three voices and why? But you should have this, these four pages, 12, 13, 14, and 15, you should go over it until you're sick of them. Pound it into your minds until it just kind of comes spewing out, because these are extremely important foundational facts to have in your brain as far as the Koine is concerned. Now, the middle of page 14, it says, notice how many tenses in English are formed with the present or past tense of the verb in question together, blah, blah, blah. When so used, the latter is called, auxiliary verbs, et cetera. So you don't have to worry about that next, about that paragraph underneath that at all, too much, unless you want to read it on your own. Start with besides. Beside tense, linguists also speak of aspect in describing the Koine Greek verb system. The term aspect refers to the view of the action that the author, I put in there, the author chooses to present to the reader. Again, the term aspect refers to the view of the action that the author chooses to present to the reader. Again, the term aspect has to do or refers to the view of the action of the verb that the author chooses to present to the reader. There are three categories of aspect in the Koine Greek: the imperfective, the perfective, and aorist. There are three categories of aspect in the Koine Greek: imperfective, perfective, and aoristic, I should say. I made a mistake. Aoristic. Now notice that these three aspects are not the same as tenses. Certainly we have the future tense, and certainly we have the imperfect tense, and certainly we have the aorist tense, but this is the imperfective aspect, the perfective aspect, and the aoristic aspect. Well, it's very important to understand how these two fit together in the Koine Greek verb system. Very important. We have to understand this. It's not easy. It's kind of confusing at first. But what I think I realize is that we got to hammer this into our heads. We have to go over it and over it and over it until it makes sense, where you say, yeah, that makes sense. So what's happening here is that in the Koine Greek verb system, aspect is very important, and so are the tenses. But these two are interwoven together in the Koine Greek verb system, and we have to understand how that operates. And that's what's involved on these two pages. There is like a heck of a lot of learning to be done. What I realized is that this author puts a heck of a lot of learning on just a couple pages in this text, this Dr. Blatt. So let's go back to aspect. Imperfective aspect focuses on the process or the duration of the action of the verb. Imperfective aspect focuses on the process or the duration of action of the verb. Imperfective aspect, the duration of action of the verb. Imperfective aspect, the duration of the action of the verb. Perfective aspect focuses on the state or the condition resulting from a completed action of the verb, not on the duration, but the perfective aspect focuses on a condition resulting from a completed action of a verb. The condition of the action of the verb. That's what perfective aspect is, not the duration of the action of the verb, which is imperfective, but the perfective focuses on the condition resulting from the action of the verb. Now, that makes sense. If you keep on saying that in your mind, that makes sense. And you wanna get it to the point where your brain says, oh, imperfective aspect, oh yeah, that has to do with the duration of action of the verb. Just like that, wham, 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 right out of your head. Oh, the perfective aspect, oh yeah, that focuses on a condition resulting from the action of a verb. One is the duration of action, one is the condition that results from the action. Duration, condition, all right? That makes sense. Perfective aspect, aoristic aspect focuses on the verbal idea. Aoristic aspect focuses on the verbal idea in its entirety. The aoristic aspect doesn't involve itself with the duration of the action of the verb, nor does it involve itself with the condition resulting from the action of the verb. Aoristic aspect just focuses on the idea of the verb, the verbal idea in its entirety. All right? So you have, other than the seven tenses, you have these very important aspects. What do these aspects do? The aspects refer to the view of the action of the verb. verbs. Help us understand the action in Koine Greek sentences. The aspect helps us to understand the view of the action that the author is giving us in that verb, in that Koine Greek sentence. And those aspects are imperfective, talking about the duration of action of that verb that he's putting forth in this sentence to us. The perfective aspect has to do with the resulting condition of the aspect of that verb that he's putting forth to us. And the aoristic aspect has to do with the idea of the verb, rather than concentrating on the duration of action of the verb or the resulting condition that occurs because of the verb. Okay, and you just, what you have to do is, it's like, well, if your mind is like my mind, you know, you're reading this and your mind is like whirling around, you know, this, what is all this hodgepodge? It doesn't sound like it makes sense. Okay, I'll just admit that I know it and we'll keep on going. No, it has to make sense. It does make sense. The only thing is that you have to lock it into your brain. Maybe some of you tonight have it locked in and had it locked in long ago. Great. I don't have it locked in. And so, this is what I'm going to do with myself, is I'm going to go over it and over it until my mind goes bing, 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 and the light comes on, and oh, yeah, you know, that makes sense. Okay. So we understand that aspect has to do with the view of the action of the verb that the author wants to give to us in Koine Greek sentences, the action of the verb. And then there's he either wants to tell us about the time, the duration of the action, he wants to tell us about a condition resulting from that action, or he wants to talk about the action in its entirety as a subject into itself. All right. So how does this all connect with tenses? You know, this aspect of action, how do we connect it with the tenses? All right, and that's what he's going to do on page 15. And so you have you really have a lot of knowledge going on here. You do, to kind of get into your brain. But I think since it's foreign to us, you know, we kind of have a problem with this, I think, because it's foreign to us. It's a different language. And so these are different rules, maybe, than we're aware of. And so maybe our minds battle it at first, like we can't understand it. But we can. And actually, we just did. I mean, going over this aspect, I can understand that. I can understand these three different aspects of how the author wants to promote the action of the verb. Okay, well then, we go over to page 15. Let's start out at the very bottom of page 14. It says, each of these categories of aspects intersect with the Koine Greek tenses. Okay, that's what that chart on 15 is all about. With some overlapping imperfective aspect, and we remember that imperfective aspect has to do with the duration of action, it intersects with the present, imperfect, and future tenses. All right. So, well, let's stop there. Well, I'll tell you what. What we're going to do is we're going to keep on reading these two pages, and then I'm going to go back and go over it again. And, you know, who knows how far we're going to get? Maybe we won't. I don't know how far we're going to get in the workbook, but this is very important. And if you understood this, we can do page 16. No problem. But it's important for you guys to get this down. And somehow I'm guessing that you guys don't have all of this nailed down. I'm just going to take a guess. And again, as we, I don't want you guys just to kind of go, oh yeah, I know this. No, you don't. you know, or let's just say, I don't think you do. Or I'm guessing that you don't. And I want you to understand this. I want me to understand it. So then as we go on, we can build. We can go, oh yeah, I know that cold. I know aspect and I know tense is cold. I know how they intersect cold. And so I can build on that. Alright. I need to see it in action. Well, we're just going to keep on going. Alright, let's go back to page 14, bottom of the page. Each of these categories of aspect intersects with the Koine Greek tenses, with some overlapping. Imperfective aspect intersects with the present, imperfect, and future tenses. Aoristic aspect intersects with the aorist, present, and future tenses. And the perfective aspect intersects with the perfect, pluperfect, and future perfect tenses. You know, you could say, I'm totally confused. No, but it does make sense. You know, and that's what we're going to get nailed down. So, we do understand what aspect means. That's something that we've seen. Now, we have this box here where we have under aspect, we have the kind of action. And then under the time of action, we have the past, present, and future, and how they intersect. Well, we'll keep on reading. Because I want to help us to understand how to interpret this chart. Okay, under the box, it says, notice the imperfective tense is always, or the imperfect tense is always imperfective. The aorist tense is always aoristic. And the pluperfect, perfect, and future tenses always are perfective. The present is basically imperfective. I am loving, though it may also be aoristic. I love. Likewise, the future tense is sometimes imperfective. I will be loving. And sometimes aoristic. I will love. The context alone conveying this information. Since the future tense is primarily concerned with future time, its aspectual significance is less marked than the other tenses. Let's keep on going. The significance of tense and aspect for reading Koine Greek. Follow this carefully. Even in the early stages of learning, it is important to become aware of both the importance and function of aspect in the Koine Greek verb system. Unlike English, the most significant feature of tense, look at this, in the Koine Greek is the kind of action. I'll repeat that. The most significant feature of tense in the Koine Greek verb system is the kind of action. Alright, so when we go over to tenses on page 14, tenses are concerned with the kind of action. I'll read it again. The most significant feature of tense in the Koine Greek verb system is the kind of action. Tenses, kind of action. A secondary consideration of tense is one that only applies in the indicative mood. It is the time of action. But the essential significance of the Koine Greek tense system is the kind of action. Read it again. But the essential significance, signification, of the Koine Greek tense system, present, future, imperfect, aorist, perfect, pluperfect, and future perfect, is the kind of action, whether it is represented as ongoing, finished, or simply as an occurrence, the kind of action. Hence, there are really only three tenses in the Koine Greek: past, present, and future. What? Hence, there are only three tenses in the Koine Greek. What are the tenses? They're the kind of action. What are the tenses? The kind of action. Hence, there are only really three tenses in the Koine Greek: past, present, and future. The other tenses are, in fact, merely alternative uses of the three tenses in conjunction with the three aspects. All right? So what did we just learn? We just learned this, that we learned that the aspects have to do, the aspects have to do with how the author is going to put forth the view of the action to the reader. What? At the aspect is the author putting forth the view of the action. The tenses is the author putting forth the kind of action. The view of the action, the kind of action. All right, we have seven tenses in the Koine Greek, but essentially there's only three. Well, then, how do we understand that? All right, aspect, view of action of verbs, tenses, kind of action. Well, how can there be three kinds with seven tenses? Well, we go back up to the chart. And I made a little chart for myself. Because if Koine Greek has seven tenses, as set forth on page 14, but there are essentially only three, past, present, and future, well, where do the seven fit into the three? All right? And I wrote this down. The present tense, all right, so the Koine Greek actually, or essentially, only has three tenses. What are tenses? Are they the view of the action? No. They're the kind of action. What are the tenses? They're the kind of action. In the present tense, as we know it to be, the Koine Greek explains the present tense by the present tense, an example being I love, and the perfect tense, I have loved. What was that? The present tense, as we know it, is explained in the Koine by the present and the perfect tenses. All right, so when you're talking about the present tense, as we understand it, we understand what the present tense is. Well, in the Koine, it breaks it down into the present and perfect tense. All right? In the future tense, as we know it to be, in the Koine, it's described by the future tense, I will love, and it's also described by the future perfect tense, I will have loved. The future tense, as we know it, is explained in the Koine by the future tense and also by the future perfect tense. So, in the present tense, we have two Koine tenses to explain it. And in the future tense, we have two Koine tenses to explain that. And in the past tense, as we know it to be, The Koine explains it with three tenses. The imperfect tense, I was loving. The aorist tense, I loved. And the pluperfect tense, I had loved. What? The past tense, as we know it, is explained by three Koine Greek tenses. The imperfect tense, the aorist tense, and the pluperfect tense. And so, to get this tense idea hammered into our minds, because we're English-speaking people, we have past, present, and future tense. The Koine has past, present, and future tense, but in the past tense, it has three tenses to explain the past tense. In the future tense, it has two tenses to explain the future tense. And in the present tense, it has two tenses. Therefore, it has seven tenses explaining the three tenses that are primary. Did that make sense to all of you? And that scene in the chart here, if you go across and it says the time of action. Of course, this is the indicative mood, but the time of action, it says past, present, and future. And then you go down the list for past, and you'll see imperfect, aorist, and pluperfect. Do you see that? Then you go in the present, and you go down, and it says present, and perfect. And then for future, it says future, and future perfect. All right, so to understand that chart, just going vertically, that's down, past, present, and future, you're to understand that in the Koine, when the Koine Greek verb system explains the past tense, it has three options. It has the imperfect tense, it has the aorist tense, and it has the pluperfect tense to work with. And when you're talking about tenses, the kind of action in the present tense, the Koine Greek has two options. It has the present tense and the future tense. Moving over in the box to the future tense, in the future tense, as we understand it, the Koine Greek has two options. It has the future tense and the future perfect tense. And in order to get these different options for past, present, and future in your mind, for one, we have to understand how the kind of action or these aspects work into these options. I know that it's that's a lot. That's a lot, because if you look at, let's say the past tense, you'll notice in the box there on page 15, how many options does the Koine give us as far as the past tense? Well, three. It gives us the imperfective, the aorist, and the pluperfect tenses. And in the past tense, the imperfect tense is involved with the imperfective act. The imperfective aspect, and the aorist tense is involved with the aoristic aspect, and the pluperfect tense is involved with the perfective aspect. And that is how you can, that's how you can understand this chart. And we're going to, you know, we're going to go on with this until we have it hammered into our heads. All right, so looking at this box, we have the kind of action, the aspect of Koine Greek verbs is the view of the action, the kind of action that the author is trying to portray to the reader. We have the imperfective, the aoristic, and the perfective. We already discussed those three types of aspect and what they are. In this box, in the past, present, and future tense, as we understand it, when we talk about the imperfective duration of aspect, that has to do with the duration of the action of time. In the past tense, it has to do with the imperfect tense. In the present tense, it has to do with the present tense. And in the future tense, it has to do with the future tense in the Koine. The aoristic kind of action, the verbal idea, in the past tense has to do with the aorist tense. In the present tense, it has to do with the present tense in the Koine. And in the future tense, it has to do with the future tense in the Koine. The perfective kind of action, the resulting condition that occurs after the action of the verb, has to do in the past tense with the pluperfect tense. In the present, it has to do with the perfect tense in the Koine. And in the future, it has to do with the future perfect tense. Now, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to go over this again and again until we understand what we're talking about, because this is really important. I think tonight we understand what aspect is. When we went over aspect on page 14, we understood that aspect has to do with the view of the action the author is trying to give us as the reader. And then we looked at the three different types of aspect. Did everybody understand that? I'm just going to ask you that question. You're going to have to answer. Did everybody understand that? All right. That isn't, if you look that over, that isn't tremendously difficult to understand. If we just take that as its own package, all right? When I went over the tenses in the Greek and I said that the past tense, as we understand it, that the Koine Greek has three options, and then in the present tense, the Koine has two options, and in the future tense, the Koine has two options. Did everybody understand that? You're going to have to give me an answer. Again. All right, so we understand what aspect is. We understand that there's seven tenses in the Koine, and we understand that basically they're like ours, past, present, and future, but they have more options than we do. All right, so we understand that. Now, in order to make this all make sense, we're going to have to connect aspect and tenses. Do you all understand that? We're going to have to connect the kind of action with the view of the action. You guys all understand that? Yes, sir. The kind of action and the view of the action. Now, it's not, you know, when I think what we have to do, and I'm gonna work on this, okay? I'm gonna work on this because we can look into this gray box up there and we can go, yeah. Let's see, imperfective was I was loving, aorist was I loved, pluperfect I had loved. Well, you're gonna have to, and we're gonna have to get this down cold. When we talk about the past tense, and I said, okay, give me the pluperfect tense of I love. You should be able to say I had loved. All right, do you see that in the box? If I say, okay, listen, I want you to give me the perfect tense translation of I love in the Koine. And looking down at the box, you'd have to go, oh yeah, that's I have loved. All right, that we have to get that cold because we have to understand the tenses and how they relate to verbs, and then we have to understand. I hope there's audio. We have to understand aspect and how they relate to verbs, and then we have to understand aspect as how it relates to these tenses. The statement that I just made, does that make sense to all of you? Can anybody hear me? Skipping here. Yep. Yes. Yes. All right. I'm going to make this statement again. And if nothing else, this is what you have to do. First of all, the seven tenses on page 14. When you look at the English translation, especially in the active voice, I love, I will love, I was loving, I loved, I have loved, I had loved, I will have loved. You should understand that. Cold. I'm talking cold. When you talk about aspect, you should understand the three aspects and what they mean. Cold. Bam. You could bang it out of your memory. When you understand and look at the tenses, you're supposed to understand that they're basically past, present, and future. And then you're supposed to understand that in the present tense, the Greek has two options, the present and the perfect. You should know that cold. In the future tense, you should understand that the Koine has two options, the future tense and the future perfect tense, cold. In the past tense, you should understand that the past tense has three options, the imperfect, the aorist, and the pluperfect, cold. And you should understand, using the I love example, you should know all of those tenses. And if I say, okay, what's a pluperfect tense of I love? Bam, you should say, I had loved. Bam, like that. Because you have to understand that in order for you all and me to combine the aspects with the tenses, and so it all just clicks like a puzzle in your brain. A puzzle that's all together. Alright? Now, this might sound impossible, but I don't think so. It just takes work. Alright? Alright. That's something that we must do. And we got a number of minutes here yet. I'm going to go over page 16. But I wanted to give you guys the idea of what's going on here. Because what meets the eye on these two pages, and then actually if you go back and we're going to go back again and again on 12 and 13. Mood, voice, tense, aspect, number, person. These are all things that describe the Koine Greek verb. You have to know them cold. And so, that's your job. That's my job. Do I know them cold? No. So that's my job. And what I'm going to set about doing is I'm going to set about combining aspect with the tenses. That's what that gray box is all about. And that looks pretty simple at first, but it's not at all. All right? Or maybe it is for you. If it is, awesome. If you can understand that, looking at it, and keep on moving, awesome. I can't. I don't totally. It's going to take some work for me, so maybe there's some other dummies like me, but I'm going to go over that until it's sick in our minds, and then we're moving on. Because otherwise, these exercises, and these tenses, and this aspect, and the voice, and the mood don't make any sense at all. I just know it. If your mind's like mine, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I got through that lesson, and I got a 85. Don't worry about Greek for Dummies. I got an 85, and then you forget all about it, and we keep on going. Well, that's not going to help you when you're by yourself sitting down translating the New Testament. You know, I know that. I was a student for many years, so I know all about that. I know what it's like to look at a page for a half an hour and drink a Coke and not know what I'm even looking at just because I'm tired. You know, I know about that stuff. So if you're anything like me, you do the same. Okay, well, let's turn to page 16 and let's get through this, and then we will come back again next time. All right. Well, it's going to we're going to go through 14 verbs in the Koine, and I will just say this to you, that as you look, we shouldn't call ourselves, I'm not calling us dummies. Did I call us? Oh, if you're dummies like me, I said, yeah. Okay, well, I was just trying to make everybody comfortable. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. That's Irene, right? No, we're saints. Thank you. We're students, right? Students of the Word. That's what we are. We're students of the Word. If you're students like the Word, like I am, then, well, I'm sorry this is cutting out, but hopefully we got a good recording. It's hard for me to not to keep on going, so I will. Page 16. I was laughing. Imperfect. Oh, okay. All right, page 16 in the workbook. We have 14 Koine Greek verbs in the column. I will say this to you, that there are some that are in the present tense and some that are in the future tense. Did you notice that? Well, that's something that you should notice, that is what you need to notice. There are a few in the present and a few in the future tense before we even try to translate them, all right? And then the author wants us to translate these verbs either in the present or the future tense according to aspect. Whether it is or in the aoristic aspect and the imperfective aspect. So, if we look at the box, what are we doing? If we look on the gray box on page 15, look back at that again. All right, in the present tense, you'll notice that the aoristic translation of I love is I love. And in the imperfective, it's I am loving. All right, do you see that? In the box there, the present tense, it says, I am loving, I love. And then if you move across, it's imperfective, aspect, and aoristic. Aoristic. Do you see what I'm talking about? In the gray box on page 15 is what is being applied to the lesson on page 16. All right, and we're not even going to get involved in the perfective aspect. We're just going to be taking the imperfective and the aoristic aspect in two tenses, the present and the future. All right, that's what's going on in lesson number 16. So let's go to it. All right, so number one, it's pronounced loue. Loue, the Koine Greek form, not word. Loue. The aoristic translation of that would be he looses. He, she, or it. Well, actually, he or she looses. It's in the third person, singular. And the aoristic translation would be he looses. To loose. The imperfective translation is he is loosing. He is loosing. All right. Let's just look at this. To loose is luo. We already learned that. Lue is the third person singular. He or she looses. And we're doing this as far as two kinds of aspect translation. Okay? What is the aoristic aspect? What is it concerned about? It focuses on the verbal idea. It doesn't focus on the duration of action, nor does it focus on the condition that results from an action. It's just concentrating on the idea of the action. So when you translate the aoristic translation, he looses, you're translating it because he looses. It doesn't talk about how long he looses. It doesn't talk about the effect of his loosing. It just talks about the aspect of him loosing. He looses. The imperfective translation is he is loosing. What does the imperfective aspect concentrate on? The imperfective aspect focuses on the process or the duration of action. He is loosing is talking about a time factor, the duration of his action. He looses aoristically. It's just concentrating on the idea of loosing. He is loosing concentrates on the duration of the action. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yes, it does, really. He looses is an idea. He is loosing is putting a time factor on the idea, on the action, all right? So that's how we arrive at, and the ending there, loue, has to do with the third person singular. So, loue. It's in the present tense. The aoristic translation is he looses. The imperfective translation is he is loosing. Remembering that what aoristic means. Remembering what imperfective means. And this, we're dealing with verbs. We don't even have to worry about nouns. We don't have to worry about definite articles. We don't have to worry about pronouns. We don't have to worry about declensions. We don't have to worry about anything but verbs for a while. All right? All right, number two. Pathamen. That's how that's pronounced. Pathamen. It's not pathomen. It's not pathomen. It's not pathomen. It's pathamen. 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 We notice that it is in the present tense. It's not in the future tense. It's in the present tense. And we notice that it is in the first person plural. So the aoristic translation, patho means to trust, I trust. And so the aoristic translation is we trust in. We trust in. It doesn't have to do with time. It just has to do with the idea of the verb, the aspect, the aoristic aspect focuses on the verbal idea, we trust in. Whereas the imperfective translation is we are trusting in. That's the answer to that. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to just run through. I'm going to run through the answers to numbers 3 through 14. I want you to write them down, and then, you know, time is a wasting here, and you can write them down, and if you need to listen to this tape over, you certainly have enough beef groundwork for you to understand this. You just have to understand it. You have to deal with it until it makes sense in your minds. All right? Number three. Hexo, with a rough breathing. Hexo. Aoristic translation, I have. Imperfective translation, I am having. Number four, agata, agata, agata. It's in the present tense, just as number three was in the present tense. Agata, you lead. It's in the plural, though, so we could put, it's in the second person plural, we could put you all lead for the aoristic translation, and for the imperfective translation it is you all are leading. Alright, number five. Pemse. Pemse, it's in the future tense. Pemse. And it comes from the root pempo, meaning I send. Pemse is in the singular, it's in the third person singular, and the aoristic translation is, since it's in the future, it's he will send. And in the imperfective aspect, it is he will be sending. Pemse, notice that it's in the future tense. And notice that it is in the third person singular. Since it's future, the aoristic translation is he will send. The imperfective translation is he will be sending. Number six. So-so. So-so. It's in the future tense. It the aoristic translation is, since it's in the future tense, is I will save. The imperfective translation, since it's in the future tense, is I will be saving. Number 7. Doxadze. Doxadze. Doxadze, actually. Doxadze. You gotta get that accent correct. Doxadze. It's in the present tense. It's in the third person singular. The aoristic translation is He glorifies. He glorifies. The imperfective translation is He is glorifying. Number 8. Number 8 is in the future tense. It is in the second person singular, according to the ending, ace, pronounced glaphase, glaphase. Since it's future, in the second person singular, the aoristic translation is you will write. You will write. The imperfect perfective translation is you will be writing. You will be writing. Number 9. It's in the future tense. Not in the present. It's in the future tense. Remember, all these verbs are either in the present or future tense. Number 9. It's in the future tense. Hetoi maso. Hetoi maso. It's in the first person singular. In the future tense, I will prepare. I will prepare is the aoristic translation. The imperfective translation is I will be preparing. I will be preparing. Number 10 is in the present tense. It's in the third person plural by its ending. It's pronounced peace to us, peace to usin. Peace to usin. Peace to usin. Peace to usin. It's in the third person plural. It's in the present tense. The aoristic translation is they believe. The imperfective translation is they are believing. Number 11 is in the future tense. It is the verb pronounced theraptuse, theraptuse, theraptuse. The aoristic translation is he will heal. The imperfective translation is he will be healing. Number 12. Akuata. Akuata. It's in the present tense. It's in the second person plural. The aoristic translation is you all here or you here. I put all in there. You all here. The imperfective translation is you all are hearing. Number 13. Is in the future tense. It's in the third person singular. It's pronounced baptise. Baptise. The aoristic translation would be he will baptize. The imperfective translation, we're on number 13, is he will be baptizing. And the last one is in the present tense. Ekomen. the second. Hold on a second. Just got to get the proper translation for this. Yeah, it's a key. Heckelman. And the aoristic translation, it's in the present tense, first person plural, we have, and the imperfective translation, we are having. So now you have all of the answers, hopefully, and you can go over these verb forms. Notice that they're in the present or future tense. Notice what the aoristic and the imperfective translations of them are. And see, this is a lot of information. You have, oh, future, did I? Yeah, they're either in the present tense or future tense. These verbs. There are no other tenses but present or future. And we learned how to form them. And that's something that hold on a second. Are you guys questioning number 14 there? I might have got it wrong. Are 3 and 14 future? Let's look at them. We'll find out. Very important. We'll find out. And see, this is where your vocabulary comes in, okay? I said that they were both present tense, I believe. Yeah. Now, let's look at... Yeah, I guess I got that one wrong. Just hold on a second. All right. You guys are right. Numbers 3 and 14 are future. Okay, number 3 and 14 are future. Let's go over 3 again. It's good you're paying attention. Number 3. Hexo. That's future tense. The aoristic translation is I will have. And the imperfective translation is I will be having. All right, sorry about that. Did everybody get the correction there? Okay. Number 3. Yeah, that's first person singular. I will have and I will be having are as the aoristic and the imperfective translation. Okay? Going back down to number 14. Hexamen would be we will have. Yeah, that's first person plural. We will have is the aoristic translation. And we will be having would be the imperfective translation. Sorry about that. Thanks for correcting me. Good to see that you guys are on the ball. All right, so we have. Okay, imperfect translations for acuita. Okay, akouata. That's in the second person plural. It's in the present tense. And it's you here, or you all here. And in the imperfective, it would be you all are hearing. You all, and I'm putting the all in there in parentheses. It would be you are hearing, but it would be more than one person, the second person plural. So I write, you all are hearing. All right, now, I suppose we've gone on pretty good here. But I just wanted, you love Southern. Yeah, Diane and I were smiling at each other. You all, yeah, you all. No, that makes sense to me. You all are hearing. Thanks a lot, Tony. Yeah, so, you know, rather than just moving through this, I know how easy it is to do. I went to school. I got good grades, and then, you know, a year later, I couldn't tell you, you know, what I learned. You know, so, but, you know, so, you know, that isn't good. So we should really, really get this nailed down. And I'm going to, you know, next time we come to class, we're going to do page 18. We're going to do some parsing, all right? We're going to do page 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. No, we're going to do pages 18. And that'll take a little bit of time, and then we're going to go 19. Where it says putting it all together, like on page 19, 20, 21, those we can do fairly quickly. So we're going to do 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 next time. But I'm just going to say this to you that. Okay, I had a hard time with 18. Okay. What I'm saying to you is that certainly what we went over tonight, I'm going to say this again, it's extremely important. It's extremely important to get the facts and the ideas down on pages 12, 13, 14, and 15 in the text. A little bit involved. You know, but we did some learning tonight. We did some learning about tenses, did some learning about aspect, what it is, and we're going to go over mood next time, voice. We know there's three voices. We should always have this in our minds when we're translating, and you'd think, well, this is a lot. Well, you know, I don't know what else to say. I've harped on it enough. The Holy Spirit used this language, and so, you know, we have to be diligent students. So, you guys were great tonight, and I thank you for being here. I'm going to, you know, try to do this the best I can. I love it. I'm doing well with it. I think that, or not doing well, I enjoy it, it is what I'm saying. And, you know, we'll just keep on going. And, you know, you guys have certainly learned myriads of the Koine compared, myriads of volume compared to what you did know. And, we can just keep on, yeah, you're welcome. We'll just keep on going over it. And now, see, thing of it is now that you have the answers there, which you shouldn't give out, you can it'll help you backtrack. You'll see the answers, and then you can backtrack, and once you go backwards, you can go forwards, and backwards, and forwards, and backwards, and forwards, and it'll all start coming together. You just have to start working with it. All right, you guys. Well, I hope that you said in your minds, I was glad to be here. I'm glad you're here because I certainly wouldn't want to talk to myself. You're welcome, all of you guys. And you know, hey, you guys are faithful to be here, that's important. Yeah, and you know, Saturday night you could be kicking up your heels or grinding some car fender or who knows what. Or, working on some concrete on your pool on a date. Whatever. But, that's beautiful stuff. So let's keep on going and let's see. What is the date? The 2nd. I'm going to have to, what do we got going on? All right, let's do a tentative 16th. How does March 16th look for everybody? That's 2 weeks from now. What about Chip, Tony, and Irene? St. Patrick's. Holy smokes. Are you Irish, Tony? What's his last name? Oh, McCurry. 17th. Oh. 17th. Oh, okay. Well, looks... Yeah, okay. Well, we'll come back to McCurry. Duh. Oh, Scottish Irish. Yeah. So I better get out of here before I say something else wrong, but... next class is the 16th, and we're going to be going over the workbook. Pages 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and McCrary. And after a while, this stuff is going to just work into your minds. I believe that. I really do. And so let's end with a word of prayer, and I really, all in all, I'm really thankful to be here and to be with you people, knowing what you know about the Lord. It's certainly better than being alone. I mean, I have my wife here, but it's better than being alone in the Lord. If you think about that, so I do. I think about that as you guys being my friends. So, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we pray for the energy and the diligence to continue on in your Koine. We pray for all of the sincere prayers that we have concerning loved ones, concerning ourselves, concerning your word mostly, concerning our faith, concerning strength, concerning how we think, concerning children, concerning loved ones, concerning how we walk in your eyes. We know that you know, and we would pray that, remember that we are only flesh, and that we need your strength to know and to do anything for you, and we ask all of these things from our hearts and minds in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, the head of the church, the creator of all things. Amen.